The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Hello, Elanet, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Lovely to speak to you again. Elanet, let's talk about some news and coming out of Israel. Palestinian officials say they will not attend the U.S. conference in Bahrain. When is that due to take place?
So that's due to take place from June 25th, which is next month. So they're saying that they weren't consulted about this because basically the whole Bahrain economic workshop that's supposed to be happening at this time is basically to discuss and to encourage investment in the West Bank and Gaza. And there's going to be a lot of different Arab countries and a lot of countries from all over the world taking part. And basically, like Mahmoud Abbas and his spokespeople have basically come out and they're saying, hey, like, we weren't consulted about this. Since when is this happening? And it's very interesting because the U.S. is actually the ones who are actually hosting it together with Bahrain. And they're saying that on June 25th, while this is taking place, part of the economic side of the deal of the century is going to be announced as well. So the Palestinians are not very happy. A lot of the factions are calling on all the leaders and to boycott the Palestinian. Basically, the final decision actually rests with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, but he has to first consult with senior PLO members and Fatah leaders and etc. So it's going to be very interesting. At this stage, it looks like they're going to be boycotting because they're very angry and they're very upset about that they weren't consulted on any of this. They said that it came as a surprise to them. So it's going to be very interesting to see over the next few days whether or not they actually will take part or will not take part. But at this stage, it looks like they are going to probably boycott. And a lot of the factions who would in general be invited to these kind of things are also looking like it's going to be, they're going to be boycotting as well. And I don't know, the interesting thing is also going to be Hamas, because Hamas and the PLO hate each other. And this is also to do with Gaza. So it's going to be interesting to see if any Hamas leaders decide to go or decide to boycott, or even if they're actually invited. Because, you know, the United States looks at Hamas and they see it as a terrorist organization. But this does have to do straight away with Gaza as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to be happening on that front.
No, I don't think it's just the United States that looks at Hamas and sees a terrorist organization.
EU.
I
mean, Elanet? Can you hear me?
Yes. So, I mean, they are officially a terrorist organization, Hamas.
Yes.
Okay. So it's not just the United States. But can we just talk about this deal of the century that's apparently going to be revealed during the conference? Any ideas what is going to be in this deal of the century?
Not particularly. We don't know. Basically, it depends. The economic side of things, I think this is one of the first stages of it. It's trying to get more investment into the West Bank and into Gaza. That's the main kind of idea on the economic front. On the land front, rumor has it, I interviewed off the records someone who's very close to President Donald Trump. I'm not going to say his name because I'll get into trouble. But basically he said to me that it was 85% to 90% of the West Bank was going to be given back to the Palestinians. However, the source basically made it clear to me at the same time that they know that the Palestinians are probably going to reject that anyway. So they're just going to put that on the table, you know, to say we offered them this and they said no. So it's going to be very interesting to see what actually happens with that as well. It's still very much up in the air. There's a lot of guessing games happening. Nobody really knows what's up for Jared Kushner and Trump's sleeve. It's really all over the place. We don't know what's going to really be the catalyst. But I mean, the Palestinians have already kind of said that they're going to reject it. They've said it several times that they're going to reject it even before it's even revealed. So I don't know. It doesn't look like it's going to be going through anyway. Whatever they reveal, whatever they say they're going to be doing, you know, whatever the United States says, no, this is the deal. This is what we're going to do. That the Palestinians already feel that it's already, you know, it's going to benefit the Israelis.
Very interesting. Yeah, but how's that different? I mean, you know, if most of the West Bank is given to, you know, the Palestinians, how's that different from the situation now where there's supposed to be land for peace swaps or certain parts are going to be swapped out for other certain parts?
So basically there'll be absolutely no military rule over, you know, like basically what you'll see is that say the Gush Etzion block will remain under Israeli control, but anything else will be completely, you know, will be completely disengaged from that. You know, just like with Gaza and Hamas, you know, ruling Gaza, it's going to be a very similar situation with the PLO and with Fatah. They'll be ruling those areas in the West Bank, without any Israeli intervention, without any, you know, cause sometimes, you know, Israelis do go into certain areas. We do raids sometimes, you know, especially when there's terrorist attacks and we're looking for a specific terrorist. We do go into Palestinian Authority areas, you know, so there won't be any of that. You know, it'll be literally, this is your land. This is your state. And the only place that we have any sovereignty over in the West Bank is the Gush Etzion block and one or two other little settlements like Ariel, et cetera, in the Shomron. But other than that, it's completely your jurisdiction. We have nothing to do with it. We don't come in there, et cetera. Whereas at the moment, you've got a situation where in the Gush Etzion block and in Ariel, you know, something like Ariel University, there's, you know, there's Palestinians who go to Ariel University. There's Palestinian people who come and do cleaning and gardens, et cetera, in a lot of the Gush Etzion. I know people that live in Gush who hire Palestinians that live in PA areas that are villages, but they come into the Gush Etzion block to do cleaning and to do that kind of work. So it's very interesting. So I think that'll be like completely, you know, it won't be that kind of situation anymore. You know, and it was the same thing with Gaza before 2005. It's basically they had the same kind of situation where Palestinians would come over the border from the Gaza area, go to Gush Katif, work for them, be handymen, be plumbers, et cetera, whereas that doesn't happen anymore. You know, unless it's like dire medical treatment, that's not happening.
Yeah.
But nobody's talking about a Palestinian state, right? I mean, that seems to be off the table for the time being.
That's off the table for now. But I mean, it would be giving back this land to the Palestinians.
What do you mean by
giving
back?
This is your land.
Can I just ask you, like, what do you mean by giving back? Giving back means that it was once theirs.
You won't have sovereignty. It's claiming that it's giving back. Like that it's claiming that there's sovereignty, that they'll have sovereignty over this. It's no longer any kind of Israeli interference at all over this. So the two-state solution is off the table at the moment. It's totally off the table because this deal of the century is basically a way of trying to get the Palestinians back to the negotiating table so that they can get a two-state solution going.
Oh, that's interesting. So that's part one.
It's part one, basically.
Okay, no, that is interesting.
It's just to try and get them back to the negotiating table. It's trying to, you know, to give them an incentive to come back to say, look, you see, Israel are willing to give back 85% of the West Bank. They are willing to do this. They are willing, you know, and Trump said several times, he said that there's going to be major sacrifices on both sides. But if there's going to be peace, that's what's going to happen. There's got to be sacrifice. So that's the kind of idea that's happening here. So it is very interesting to see what's going to be. I mean, personally, if you want my honest opinion, I don't see the Palestinians taking the deal. They've already pretty much said they're not going to, which means they're not coming back to the negotiating table, which means any idea of a two-state solution is very much off the table, very, very much off the table. And it's a pity because, I mean, the Palestinians need it just as much as the Israelis need it. You know, it's not that's the situation. We've got this stalemate going on.
Elena, I'm going a little bit off script here. In the short time that we have left, I was just wondering whether the Jerusalem Post was reporting on the developments in the German Bundestag with the prescription of the BDS as an anti-Semitic organization.
Yes. So our reporter, Benny Wienthal, he's our main European reporter. He speaks German like fluently, and he's been dealing with this very much so. And he's done a whole bunch of stories. There's been a lot of interesting reactions. Some people not happy. There's been Israeli academics here who are anti-Israel because they live in Israel, but you know, they're pro-BDS. Let's say that they're pro-BDS and the idea of academic boycott. And they've kind of appealed. They wrote a letter to the German Bundestag, and they wrote a letter to the government, and they said, no, like this is ridiculous. How can this happen? So we haven't been covering it quite extensively.
What I'm trying to understand in my mind is, on the one hand, they've passed this really important piece of groundbreaking legislation. On the other hand, the Germans appear to be the first ones in the queue to want to deal with Iran.
It's very strange. It's a very, very strange, you know, because maybe for them there are, you know, there could be. I would think that Israel probably doesn't even come into the equation when they're dealing with Iran. I would think they're dealing with Iran because they see themselves as needing resources and needing certain things out of Iran, whereas Israel isn't coming into the equation when they're dealing with that. Whereas when it comes to BDS, it's directly affecting Israel and it's directly affecting Israel's relationship with Germany. So Iran, on the other hand, you know, they probably have their own interests there. And Israel probably isn't even in the equation. That's my two cents on it.